This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, Friday night. Welcome back. SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio. The Big E Sports Show. Alyssa Walker-Campbell along with you. And I'd love to hear from you tonight. We're always live on Twitter. All of you aficionados, join us at eRadio Sports. You can email the show info, eradiosports.com and podcastarena.com. It is time for some NBA news and notes, but we first have to pause, recognize the folks that power all of us at SB Nation and at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You are guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts that you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need at the guaranteed lowest price. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, indeed, it is time to hit the hardwood, and it's been a while since our next guest has been on the program. It is so good to have back with us from CNN Sports, also ESPN. That is Motez Bashara, who serves as a feature writer for them. And how are you, Motez? Good evening, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Big E. Always a pleasure.
Well, you are certainly taking care of business in 2019. I know we had a chance to visit earlier this week, and you scored a sweet interview with the Miami Heat, the legendary, the iconic player in Dwayne Wade, and his all-star chapter starting to come to a close. What did you learn about this inspiring star?
Well, I always figured he was a good guy off the court. I mean, you could definitely tell with all his philanthropy work and all his, you know, his causes, mm-hmm. his protests for against social injustice, and you know, all his interests off the court, whether it's fashion or wine. So he's a very well-rounded intellectual individual, and I was really excited to meet him, and he didn't disappoint at all. I mean, he's a gracious person. Off the court, he certainly gave me a good amount of time and was really engaged and thoughtful about his about the questions I was asking him. And you know, he's had an absolutely legendary career, mm-hmm. And he even had a legendary night this week. You know, where he had that incredible buzzer-beating three-pointer over the Warriors, and you saw how engaged that crowd in Miami was. The place just erupted at the AA Arena. So he's really one of the most beloved people in Miami, and he'll definitely stay there. It's his home.
Well, there's been a lot of talk over here in the States about should Dwayne Wade consider retirement after his recent hot streak?
I think he's comfortable with the idea of retirement. He told me that after last season, after their loss in the playoffs, he thought about just shutting it down. In fact, he was convinced when they lost to the Hawks that when he walked off the court after the playoffs, that was the last time he would play an NBA game. But then he reconsidered. You know, part of it was he said he had lost some of his love for the game after the death of his longtime agent and business manager. His name was Henry Thomas, mm-hmm. and they were very, very close. He was almost like a father figure. And he said he just lost the passion, but then, you know, he took time to consider it in the offseason and said, I don't want to go out like that. I want to go out on my own terms. Give me a chance to say goodbye to the fans and give the fans a chance to appreciate everything and say goodbye to me. And I think, you know, the All-Star weekend was a good farewell for him, and now, you know, he's still playing at a very high level, but I think he is comfortable in the fact that he's looking forward to life after basketball.
Hey, feature writer with CNN Sports and ESPN, also author. We're looking forward to his latest release. Our good friend Motez Bashara joining us tonight, SB Nation Radio. He just scored an exclusive interview with Dwayne Wade. And as we talk about Dwayne, I mean, Motez, he's 37 years old. He is still a young man, a lot of exciting things ahead of him. What did he share? How does he envision the next chapter of his life going after retirement? I mean, does he want to be a coach? Does he want to be a businessman? What does he want to do? I mean, he's a very deep man.
Right at the moment, he said he just wants to exhale and take some time off for himself. I think he wants to process everything and really, you know, resolve having the end of a career in his mind and get out of that mindset. And then he's got a lot of options, you know. I mean, he's got his foundation, of course. He's very engaged in fashion. Obviously, his wife, Gabrielle Union, is a big personality. She's an actress. She's also a big fashion personality as well. So, you know, he's got his wine business too. So he's got his hands in a lot of different things. Not to mention he's got a son named Zaire who's, I think, a junior in high school who's getting recruited by some top schools. So he wants to be involved in his son's future basketball career too. So he's got his hands in a lot of different pots. But if he wants to go into coaching, I'm sure the Heat will, you know, throw out the red carpet for him if he wants to get into management. I have a feeling he will remain a part of the Heat in some way or another, whether it's just being an ambassador for the team or being in management or even in coaching. I'm not sure, but he's not revealing anything at the moment.
Dwayne Wade, as we talk about him, a future Hall of Famer, no doubt about it. And here we are. I mean, it's hard to believe. I mean, Motez, there's, 6 weeks left in the regular season. Did he share with you kind of the struggles that Miami has had? I mean, what, they're 10th in the Eastern Conference right now?
Well, I think they're only two games out of a playoff spot, believe it or not. So I think he's probably hoping to be able to sneak in, you know, and that win over the Warriors has got to be a big morale booster for them, you know. They beat the best team in basketball, so why not? You know, that adds some belief. I mean, at the moment, they're honestly just one game out behind the Hornets. So they could definitely sneak in. I mean, they've got some young talent, but, you know, they're still a team very much in transition. You know, he provides veteran leadership. I think that's, you know, and some clutch scoring, as we can see. So I don't think that, you know, they haven't thrown in the towel yet. I think they're still trying to get in the playoffs.
Okay, so let's move ahead. Let's talk about the Western Conference and what in the world is going on with the Lakers. Who do you think deserves the most blame for their struggles? I mean, LeBron lit it up on Wednesday night and had, 33, but it has been a very difficult season for sure.
It's a difficult season. Listen, this team is still close to 500. They are a vastly improved team from last year when they were, like, you know, a bottom dweller in the conference and an easy lottery team. So everyone's thinking this is a failure, but, you know, you add one guy to the team. Granted, he's the best player, you know, in the league and perhaps one of the greatest of all time, probably is, but it's not enough. You know, they have, you know, two-thirds of the team is very, very young, and one-third of the team is very, very old. That does not make for a championship contender, unfortunately. And, you know, LeBron's style is he goes to a team, and they bring in a lot of veterans, a lot of people he's comfortable with. They shake things around, but as we saw in Cleveland, that doesn't always work, and sometimes it creates chaos in management. You know, we saw in Cleveland what happened, you know, two managers end up leaving, one right before, one during his tenure, one right after the general manager left, and now that team is in shambles. So, you know, there's a lot of upheaval that comes with LeBron. You know, for all the good things he brings, he does shake things up. Is it his fault that they're in 10th place? I don't think so. I mean, without him, they'd be a much, much worse team. You know, it just takes more than one guy and more than one season to turn things around when you're one of the worst teams in the league.
You know, you mentioned Cleveland, and as we talk about LeBron, I mean, as we reflect on his decision to go to the Lakers, I mean, should he have selected somewhere else to play? I mean, the Lakers, being 10th right now in the Western Conference, I mean, they're in a difficult position. They may not make the postseason, but do you question his decision from last summer?
No, not at all. I mean, I think he had made his decision long before the season was over, frankly. I think he was very much leaning towards L.A. You know, he's got his places there. He loves the city. It's all, you know, there's a vacuum in terms of a superstar there, and everyone from Wilt to Kareem to Shaq to, you know, has moved there to become a star. So he saw what they could do, and he thought, you know, I could do it too. And the glory that comes with winning with the Lakers, I think, is unmatched anywhere else in the league. So he wanted a crack at that. I don't blame him. why not? It's a great city. It's a great lifestyle.
Oh, yeah.
So what I'm trying to say is he didn't do this just for basketball reasons. If he wanted to just win, you know, he probably could have gone somewhere else and had a better shot at it, obviously. You know, he wanted the lifestyle. He wanted to entertain his hand in the entertainment business. He's obviously got his movie production business. So it's more about empire building and legacy and branding than it is just about wins and losses. You know, I don't think he honestly believed he was going to dethrone the Warriors.
Well, he is surrounded with, you know, a young cast, a young roster. So I just have to wonder, and want to pick your brain on this, what's going to be the key to a winning formula? I mean, there was so much talk, you know, when the trade deadline was, you know, here and it's gone. But in regards to Anthony Davis, I mean, what kind of piece do they need to add to the puzzle?
For the Lakers?
Yes.
I think they're certainly better off not having traded for Davis, because looking at what they were going to give up, I think it was two first-round picks, mm-hmm. plus Kuzma, plus all these other guys on the team. You know, it just, Lonzo Ball, I mean, they were going to give up all their young talent, plus two future first-round picks for a guy who just got injured and is probably going to sit out the rest of the season, or maybe just play, you know, parts of the season. As great as Anthony Davis is, him and LeBron together don't, you know, it's not enough, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I think they're much better off sitting it out and then trying to sign some free agents, whoever they may be, whether it's trading for Kyrie Irving, who's got 1 year left on his mm-hmm. contract and clearly wants out of Boston, or, you know, one of the other top free agents out there. But trading for Davis wasn't going to do it.
Hey, good stuff tonight. Feature writer, CNN Sports and ESPN, also author Motez Bashar has been with us at the next generation of sports radio, and that is SB Nation Radio. Safe travels, and Motez, we'll catch up with you real soon, I promise.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Of course. Much more coming your way. SB Nation Radio.